Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
In conversation now with Adrian Saville, Chief Investment Officer. We mentioned earlier on during the drive show that there's a case of a pensioner who's lost almost everything or is possibly going to lose everything on a bank show. So we'll speak a little bit more about the platform now and just understand how these kind of things can occur. Mr. Saville, a very good evening to you, and thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us.
Thanks. It's great to be with you.
So this pensioner speaks of depositing hundreds of thousands of rands with this investment platform, Bankshow, and his anxiety is over the fact that this platform has been suspended. Let's first start by understanding what exactly is Bankshow. How does it work and who is their target market?
You know, I think that you've already touched on their target market. You know, it's people who are essentially, you know, accessing platforms, and platform businesses can be extremely powerful and functional. They can also be very, very dangerous. You know, there's a reference in this to, you know, the idea being that he's been duped or seduced into the platform, you know, and that then, you know, puts an emphasis under the ability to attract investors with very, very, perhaps, you know, not with the necessary financial literacy, wisdom, or intelligence. And that isn't a disparaging remark in any way about the investor, you know, but people have different levels of financial
literacy,
sophistication, yeah. Education. And, you know, here you've got an investor who clearly has, you know, allocated money, you know, A, you know, perhaps A, to something he didn't understand, and or B, was seduced in there with a promise that, you know, wasn't quite up to scratch.
And as you say that, you know, the bank markets itself as not your grandfather's bank, but this is somebody who says that he was enticed by deep fake advertisements. So it just comes down to understanding. There's a lot of we see there's a lot of material on the net about forex traders, cryptocurrencies, and investing in commodities. People always posting about, oh, I invested with so-and-so and they got me this much. So what should you look out for if we're talking about what he says are deep fake advertisements?
Yeah. You know, it's by absolute coincidence that I'm speaking to you this evening from Singapore, where I've been attending the Singapore FinTech Festival. And there's, I mean, there's a number of things that leap out to me, you know, from the experience over the last couple of days at this festival. The first is how our industry has grown in complexity and sophistication, and that it is quite easy for an investor to misunderstand, misinterpret, you know, given that, you know, in one blush, something might look like a bank, you know, and in the next moment, it turns out it actually isn't a regulated deposit taking institution. It's simply a channel that's, for instance, hunting as a platform for the most attractive interest rate for people who allocate funds through that channel to regulated banks. And that's just a trivial or passing example of the easy way in which investments can be misunderstood. It also, a second thing that leaps out to me in the experience over the last couple of days is the way in which technology has democratized access, lowered barriers to entry, and how increasingly the way in which investors are engaging is through digital interface, not through human interface. And, you know, if there's a human interface, there is a different opportunity, a way in which there might be education, there might be an interjection. There's a chance to ask face-to-face questions. And that's not in any way taking away from the power of digital, but, you know, highlighting that, you know, digital, as powerful as it is, you know, comes with challenges. And then, you know, on top of all of that, we've got artificial intelligence, which is a double-edged sword. You know, on the one hand, incredibly powerful through generative AI, hyper-customization, and on the other hand, the ability to build things in the blink of an eye that feel and look like they are human.
And it's interesting when you were saying about the lowering of boundaries, because on the one hand, it could be a good thing, but I'm just looking at just one of the products that they, this particular platform, Bankster, is offering is Contract for Difference. So for me, yeah, I'd want to shy away from that because it just sounds way too complex. But when you speak about AI as well, it's just putting in certain words can get you particular answers depending on what you are inserting in it as well.
Yeah, and, you know, to be so, the moment you say, a contract for difference, you know, immediately, you know, as a, I'm not sure I can describe myself as a seasoned investor. I'm as an investor with many years of experience. If you say to me contracts for difference, A, I understand what it is, you know, straight away in the blink of an eye. But then immediately I also appreciate that a contract for difference is a very, very risky instrument in which you should, could anticipate, with a degree of, you know, comfort or probability losing everything. You know, this is not a place, a pensioner who is, you know, protecting, a last bundle of capital, would allocate money in any shape or form at any time, to a contract for difference. A contract for difference is a speculative instrument. Now, you know, I'm not sufficiently familiar or intimate with this case to know if that is where it went, but you know, it really just helps underline the point that an allocation of capital needs to be on a basis of knowledge. And always in this industry, you have a single currency that cannot be touched, and that's trust.
So the Financial Sector Conduct Authority has seen fit to suspend the platform, even though Bankster and Afrimarkets Capital, who are, even though wholly independent of each other, deny the allegations of using deepfakes and luring customers. But there obviously must be some prima facie case that exists, something that would be worrying the FSCA to say, let's suspend while we do investigations and there'll be no withdrawal or investments until then. So what kind of conditions would need to exist before they do this kind of thing?
You know, again, I'm, you know, that's outside of my wheelhouse. You know, certainly I understand very, very well what you need to do to make absolutely sure that you aren't, you know, caught short or fall foul of regulations. You know, I'm not sure, you know, what has happened here that specifically causes the regulator, you know, to point to Bankso and say, or the broker, you know, to say that this is what's been done inappropriately. But
and I suppose if we talk about baseline transparency, regulatory compliance, what would you say is important for companies to focus on?
Well, you know, that first that you've got anything that is in the public domain that is designed to attract investors to your product or to your solution represents without any doubt the true attributes of the investment. That, you know, there's references in this decision to, you know, to deep fakes. I don't have the exact wording in front of me, but, you know, when I read the assessment, you know, it's evident that the investor didn't understand, felt that he had been misled, and talks about, you know, these deep fakes. And, you know, that says, again, you know, we have to be being dispassionate about it either. You know, what was being represented was not a true representation of the product, or the investor wasn't sufficiently educated. Now there, the regulator is, you know, has full transparency, full line of sight, and is able to make that assessment. And the fact that the license is suspended tells you exactly, you know, what the assessment is in this instance. You know, there's also references to the way in which brokers conducted themselves around this product. which waves another flag. And so, the critical issues are, there has to be transparency, there has to be compliance, and there has to be full cooperation with the regulator if at any point a question is asked or, deeper detail is needed. There has to be full cooperation.
We were just also talking about security with a colleague about sometimes, some apps or some products will say they have a two-step verification process, but we've seen how many fraudulent cases have been lodged just by a simple use of an OTP. So in this case, in the digitally altered images of famous people whose content, whose consent was not sought, just how thin a line should we as ordinary, Joe Blocks or people on the street know how to decipher or to discern that this is somebody who is qualified to talk to me about investments the kind of products I am qualified to throw my money into?
And that's the responsibility of a financial advisor, is to make sure that the person that you're speaking to, you have to be intimate with their financial circumstance, understand their needs, their vulnerabilities, everything from, the size of their balance sheet, not just the part of the balance sheet that you might be advising on, but the total balance sheet, their liabilities, from personal liabilities through to, broader extended family liabilities, life expectancy, health conditions, et cetera, et cetera. Now that's not my immediate line of work. I'm responsible for looking after assets once they've been given to me in the investment world. But the advisor is responsible for intimately understanding a person's circumstances. And, if I look at this Bankso judgment or ruling, it makes reference to a broker who was sort of leaning on global events and saying missile launches and war are going to provoke certain outcomes or catalyze certain outcomes. You have to take advantage of this. It sounds like a case of fear mongering, misinformation, and preying on a person's vulnerabilities. Now, I'm inferring that from the judgment. I don't know this intimately. I want to keep emphasizing that. But these are the things that we need to be alive to. Do we feel like we're being pressured into making an investment? Are we dealing in facts, or are we rather dealing in rumor mongering or fear mongering, like missile attacks? And is the language that's being used, is it provocative? Huge trading opportunities, massive potential gains. That isn't investing. That's speculating.
And that's just a final question, because that's where my mind went to. So when we were speaking about CFDs earlier on, so I see in some of these cases, somebody invests in something without actually owning the asset. So my understanding of the job of a speculator is that they're supposed to understand the market so well that they're able to get me money from just reading the trends or internal, external shocks that the country I'm in may face. So that's also another difficult thing. How do you know who's good and who's dodgy?
Yeah, I'm going to say you've gone too far there, because, every investment manager, every investment advisor, almost all of us, are trying to do good. Here you've got an example of investment advisors or brokers that are doing bad. So that's why I just caveat my point about almost all. But, the real point is this: no one knows. So the moment someone says to you, there is a huge opportunity, you can only make money here, the gains are substantial, first the language is provocative, but if that person knows, then why are they sharing that information with you? And the point of departure in investment management is first thinking about risk. What's the downside before we start thinking about the upside? And if this investor had understood what a contract for difference is, and it's evident that, I would suggest that they probably don't understand what a contract for difference is. There is no asset underneath a contract for difference. That's absolutely true in this report. Rather, what you are buying is you're buying the difference that comes about in price. So you're buying something that doesn't exist. There's no asset that underpins it. If the prices fall, you can't go and get what's left of it, because what you are buying is you are buying quite literally the price movement. That is an invisible thing. And if the price falls, the money's gone. You don't get half a property or a knockdown price on a property. The money is zero. And I can only reemphasize the importance of, any investor, before they start allocating to things that sound wonderful, first start asking what could go wrong here. And perhaps when they've asked a sufficient number of questions, they then might have a deeper understanding. And at that point of understanding what the upside is, what the downside is, then they're in a position to make that allocation. But anyone who promises that they can see around corners and knows what the outcome is, I simply don't think that that's a position that can be trusted.
Or as that old adage says, if it's too good to be true, then it is too good. Thank you so much for your time. Much appreciated. Adrian Saville, Chief Investment Officer.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.